Welcome back to Issues Etc. Here in the second hour of the program, broadcasting live from Christ Lutheran Church in Oak Park, Illinois, day two of our Issues Etc. Reformation Tour. We just heard our interview done yesterday with Dr. Robert Schuller of the Hour of Power and founder of the Crystal Cathedral. What did you think about what Dr. Schuller had to say? Your general reaction to that interview during this hour of open lines, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Perhaps you are a Robert Schuller fan. You like his books. You like his television program. Were you surprised by what you heard Dr. Schuller say during our interview there in the last 25 minutes? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And as usual, when we do these interviews with prominent televangelists and influences in American evangelicalism, there is always a question that I did not ask that perhaps you think I should have asked. I'd be happy to hear from you. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I know our audience here at Christ Lutheran in Oak Park was listening attentively to Dr. Robert Schuller and our interview with him. If anyone in our audience has a question or a comment on that interview, feel free to approach this microphone. We'd be happy to take your question and comment as well. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. It's open lines for the next hour, and then in the third hour, our roundtable of pastors, local Chicago area pastors here, and we'll be talking about God the Son. Let's start with Alan, who calls from his car. Alan, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Just a couple of points. I thought that in comparison to your interview with Joyce Myers, that at least Robert Schuller seemed to be aware of the issues, as opposed to Joyce, who seems to me kind of done a theological end run around the issues. And I did hear Schuller on Larry King once say over the Ephesians 5 passage about women, he said, just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean that I have to preach on it. And I wonder how, as a member of, I guess, one of the oldest denominations, the Reformed Church in America, how is it that he seems to believe in original sin, but then his solution seems to depart from that kind of historic traditional response?
What a very insightful diagnosis of Schuller's theology there, all packed into about five words. Thank you very much, Alan. Okay, first of all, I agree, in comparison to Joyce Meyer, who we interviewed late last month on the program. She, of course, St. Louis-based televangelist with an international ministry, especially to women. Joyce did seem to, I think she's aware of the issues. I think she just didn't want to answer the question in a lot of cases. And Dr. Schuller did seem to be aware of the issues, no doubt about that. Certainly aware of the criticisms that have been over the years leveled at him, and seemed ready to answer them in his own way. So how, as a member of one of the oldest Christian denominations in the United States, can he affirm original sin and yet come up with a completely different solution to sin? Well, first of all, I don't know. He says he believes in original sin, but did you hear, Alan, how he defined sin? Oh, a child is born in sin. We're born estranged from God. We're born enemies from God. But when asked, what is man's real problem? I said, well, the Bible defines it as sin. Well, you can't talk about man's problem apart from sin, he said. But man's real problem, and he said it very clearly at the end, is not sin, but shame, being ashamed of himself. Man's real problem, he said, is a lack of self-esteem and, to use his words, faith in one's self. Now, it all depends on how you define sin. If you define sin as, and I was trying my hardest to do it during this interview, running afoul of God's perfect law, the standard that God has given us in the Ten Commandments, if you define sin that way, running afoul of it in the way that we think, the way that we speak, the way that we act, then the solution to sin can only be found in one place, according to Scripture, and that is in the perfect obedience of Jesus Christ all the way to the cross. Now, you'll notice when I presented that to Dr. Schuller in the course of that interview, he really didn't want to have much to do with that answer or that problem or its solution. He wanted to redefine sin as a lack of self-esteem. Jesus then, rather than becoming the atoning sacrifice for sin, becomes inspiration for the person whose real problem is a lack of self-esteem and faith in oneself. To be born again, then, according to Dr. Schuller, is to realize that you're not as bad as you think you are. To realize that you can do it, and once you realize you can do it, then you ought to do it. He calls it possibility thinking. So while he believes in a kind of original sin, Alan, I think for the most part, it's not the way Scripture defines sin. He said a few things like, Adam ran out of the garden. He ran away, and he said that when he was talking about if you use the word sin, people will run away from you. Adam ran out of the garden as though God accused him of his sin and it scared him away and shattered his self-esteem. You know, I really wonder why God didn't just give Adam a hug after he fell into sin. I mean, why did he approach him and say, what have you done? Did I not tell you that if you ate of this tree, you would die? And then he curses him. Cursed be the ground because of you. And he curses his wife. And he curses the serpent who led them into temptation. I mean, by Shuler's theology, God should have said, come here, Adam. Let me give you a hug. Don't be ashamed of yourself. Don't run out of the garden. Stay in the garden. Don't be ashamed of yourself. Come on, let's talk about some possibility thinking. So his fall into sin is really redefined. I will hand this much to Dr. Shuler. Joyce Meyer was not willing to tell me I was wrong when I spoke the word of law and gospel to her. She said, whatever works for you. Bishop John Shelby Spong, the most notorious liberal alive today, was not willing to tell me I was wrong when I spoke the same message to him. He said, well, I'll never tell you you're wrong. I don't believe it, but I'll never tell you you're wrong. But I got to hand it to Dr. Shuler. He was willing to tell me I was wrong when I spoke the gospel. He said, you are wrong. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Calling from New Orleans, Joshua is on the line. Joshua, thank you for waiting. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Todd. Hey, you know, I was thinking the same thing you were thinking about, just original sin. It seemed like he said it was true, but he didn't really believe in it. It's like his whole foundation, like from the get-go, like, there was just no concept of law and gospel in what he was saying. There was, and when he said the thing about shame, I mean, the first thing I thought was, you know, I'm ashamed for a good reason. Shouldn't I be ashamed? I mean, that's all I really had to say. I mean, you're really saying what I was thinking, but it just seems like he's. I know he's talking about Jesus and all these things, but it just seems like he's not even talking about the Christian religion, because everything he says is already starting. It's on a faulty foundation. All right, I'm going to
let
up.
You go. Well, before I let you go, Josh, what's the weather like down there in New Orleans?
Well, it's been raining, but right now it is beautiful, sunny, and a nice little breeze from the river.
Okay, now what temperature? That's the key element here.
Oh, the temperature. Well, it's always too hot here. It's probably in the 80s, I would say.
We've got you beat by a couple 10 degrees, I imagine, up here in Chicago. Thank you very much, Joshua. I appreciate the call. Well, okay, I thought the same thing, Joshua, when he said our real problem is shame. You see what it is? It's not that you sin, it's that you feel bad that you sinned. That's your real problem. Would you raise your children this way? Oh, Billy, it's not a problem that you hit your sister in the mouth. The real problem is that you feel bad that you did that. Now go do better. Of course, and he was very upfront, he said our real problem is a lack of self-esteem. If self-esteem runs the show, then sin, we can't really talk about sin. He said we shouldn't talk about sin. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Kathy calls from St. Charles. Kathy, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call. Well, I have a couple of comments. I guess the first thing was, I just kind of found what he said offensive to Christ, but also to Christians, especially Christians in the past, saying that sin is so offensive today, the word sin, and that we have to use different words unless, you know, we're going to turn people off. I guess I find that offensive because I think people in the past were pretty smart, and they knew what sin was. And as far as I'm aware, Christ called sin in the Bible. And And there were those, of course, that turned away, but those that also realized that they needed to repent. So I guess I found that kind of offensive. And he also turned the onus, I felt, back on me. I had to do better once the Ten Commandments, I realized that I wasn't doing those right. I needed to just try to do better. And that's, to me, very much a law-based religion. And I guess the other thing was, the final thought I have is, I think he psychologized Christianity and just puts it into psychiatric terms, or Christian terms. I know someone who's been recently diagnosed with, I don't know if you've heard of this, it's called paranoid syndrome. She's had a drug addiction problem for years, on and off drugs. She was recently living in a homeless shelter. She's had two children out of wedlock. And the story is very sad. And she's, you know, an adult. She's like 35 or 36, and never has settled down, never can keep a job. But recently she's been diagnosed with paranoid syndrome, because the reason supposedly she does all of these things is because she's paranoid of what people will think. And my older boy said, well, why don't they just call it sin, because she's so ashamed that people know what she's done. That's why she's paranoid to be around people. I just find it interesting that he kind of, I think, called Christianized sin a possibility thinking, that and self-esteem, and really what we have is paranoid syndrome. I think it was just his way of trying to Christianize psychology, the whole issue.
Kathy, it's a good insight. He did say that Jesus never used the word sin. And then when I said, well, what about with the Pharisees? Well, no. He used the word sin with them because they were the Pharisees. They were unbelievers. But oddly enough, about two sentences before that, he explained to me that Paul only used the word sin when he was talking to Christians. Now, I was a little confused as to whether or not we're not supposed to use the word sin with believers or unbelievers. So that left me a bit confused here. Let's talk with Steve, who calls from his car. Steve, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yeah, hey, Todd. Great interview. I have to ditto the other callers' comments as far as the content of this one compared to the Joyce Myers and the Shelby Spong one, in terms of really getting more to the meat, and really, really on his part, as you said, being much more aggressive and more willing to confront you and to tell you were wrong. I really was surprised at that. But I think the bottom line, I mean, it was really a whole earful that he spoke on, but it really seems that his theology is really quite pagan. There is no need for Christ in his worldview. Christ appears to be mainly an accessory or a good example. It's still up to us. He criticized being a work salvation, but it, from what I can see, is entirely faith.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Steve. Well, yeah, and I asked him that. Where does Jesus perfect obedience? He had a lot to say about my obedience, about the fact that I can be obedient. I said, what do I do when I'm confronted with the law and my disobedience? He says, how to live a better life. Do better and better and better every day. Where does Jesus' perfect obedience fit into that? Yeah, Jesus lived the perfect life, blah, 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 and all that. But your problem is you don't realize that you can do it too. And see, what I want to know is, if I can do it too, why did Jesus have to do it for me? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Mike is up next. Mike calls from his car. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Pastor. I was very dismayed to hear about a whole church full of people at the Crystal Cathedral that I need to start praying for now, if they're in agreement with Dr. Schuller's theology. At any rate, my main dismay roots from his comments about the Ten Commandments, and that once you get past the law, that they are meant to empower us to become more, what is it, the better life, or get into the better life, something like that.
Motivation to do better, he said.
He made a comment that you needed to get into his books and study the depths of his books, but I would suggest that he probably needs to get into the book of Romans and read especially chapter 3 and figure out what his theology should be going with.
I don't know that he would be very comfortable with Romans chapter 3. There's an awful lot of mention of sin in that, and that has a tendency to do some damage to your self-esteem. Thank you very much, Mike. I appreciate that call. Tremendous insights from our callers during this hour. We're taking your reactions, your questions and comments on our interview yesterday with Dr. Robert Schuller of the Hour of Power in the Crystal Cathedral, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Matt listens in Seward, Nebraska. Welcome to the program, Matt.
Hello. I wanted to say that shame is a symptom of our problem, which is sin. And the other thing is, what was interesting is you were doing law and gospel, which is, I guess, the traditional Lutheran hermeneutic, really the biblical hermeneutic, I guess. His biblical hermeneutic was positive and negative instead of law and gospel. And our hermeneutic, our way of interpreting the scripture, often determines where our doctrine leads. And by
that is brilliant.
By using that, it leads right to where he went.
Okay, Matt, stay on the line here, and I want you to stay on hold down there in St. Louis. We got to send him something. What can we send him, Jeff? Jeff will think of something to send you, I promise. All right, thank you very much, Matt. Now, that was brilliant. I wish I would have thought of that. Send him something, Jeff. Go. Get on the phone. Send him something. Something good, something big, something thick. I don't know what it is, and expensive. Did you hear this? He uses the word hermeneutic, which is a fancy word for how you read the Bible. See, there are all different ways of reading the Bible. There's one right way, and then there's all sorts of wrong ways. The way that I read the Bible, and he said it's the traditional Lutheran hermeneutic. That's true enough if we're talking about Lutherans in the past, although Lutherans in the present, I don't know so much about that, is law and gospel. Luther says Scripture contains two great teachings. The law, that is what God requires of us, and we cannot keep. And the gospel, that is what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, that's a very general way of talking about law and gospel. That's a way of reading the Bible. That is a pair of lenses through which one reads the Bible and through which one interprets every passage of Scripture. It's why Lutheran preachers in the past, although not so much now today, always ended up sounding very much the same as one another. You have a pastor when you're a kid, then you have a pastor when you're midlife, and then after you get married and into your old age, and they all seem to be preaching the same kind of sermon, which comes down to, you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and here is the Savior who answered for your sin. Now, we call that preaching the gospel in the broadest sense. Matt, you're absolutely right. His hermeneutic isn't law and gospel, but positive and negative. And he didn't seem to have much use for the negative. Jeff calls from St. Peter's. Jeff, thank you for calling, and welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you for taking my call, Pastor. You have some wonderful insight, and that's part of the reason I love listening, because of the listeners who call in and just give us great insight. But my what I was hearing him say was, according to Schuller, words are barriers. And should we look for a new version of the Bible on the horizon that has more positive? I mean, that seems like where we're going. If I mean, Robert Schuller can make that happen. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the call, Jeff. Well, again, a previous caller already pointed this out, and that's where all the best insights on this program come from, is our wealth of callers and listeners. He pointed this out. He advised me not to study God's Word more carefully, to get straightened out. I was very wrong in saying that I cannot keep God's Ten Commandments, and the only answer to that, the best news there is Jesus keeping them for me all the way to death on the cross for me. He advised me to get more deeply into his books. So maybe that's the supplement to Scripture that Dr. Schuller would have one lead, or at least you be led to believe Dr. Schuller would have us look to. Rocky's calling from Virginia. Rocky, welcome.
Good afternoon. How are you, Pastor?
Very well.
Good. Thank you. I just had a comment on his use of the word faith, which he likes to avoid using, but suggests that he is using it by calling it positive thinking. But in his phrasing there of positive thinking, what he's showing is that his faith is in himself rather than in Christ. And that, to me, shows the complete error of his teaching, is that when he suggests that he is having faith in Christ, really it's no faith at all, because he turns it right back around and places it on his own ability to accomplish what he suggests is available.
Very insightful, and thank you so much, Rocky. Thanks for listening out there in Virginia as well. You hit the nail right on the head. Someone said this to me during the break, and it's a very simple way of thinking about it. It's a good way of evaluating anyone's preaching, anyone's writing, anyone's theology, anyone's sermon. Does this leave me looking back at myself? Does it leave me searching for answers in myself? Or does it leave me looking outside myself to Jesus Christ, looking for answers outside myself in what He has done rather than what I do? One is a theology of glory. You noticed at the end, man's real problem is he doesn't have glory. I would beg to differ. Man's real problem is he's got too much glory in himself. He needs to have true glory, which is to glory in Christ. Or as Paul would put it, far be it from me, to glory in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ, my Savior. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We have a listener here in our audience at Oak Park. What's your name and what's your question or comment?
Yes, my name is Christina Niehaus, and I have a comment for Dr. Schuller in regards to the burden that he puts on our pastors. He mentioned towards the beginning of the program that pastors need to know how to talk to a person and that you can't tell a person that they're a sinner. But see, our pastors don't tell parishioners they're sinners. God does.
That's a great point. Thank you very much. Well, see, I guess it comes down to that perspective again. Thank you very much. Who's doing the talking when the pastor is saying, here is your sin as plain as day. If you don't see it, let me point it out to you. Who's doing the talking? Is this mean? Is he trying to tear people down? No. He's trying to show them what God says about them in His Word. Now, if you won't listen to the law, if you will not listen to what God's Word has to say about you in His law, there is no way in the world that you will be able to hear what God says of you in His Son, Jesus Christ. It's open lines. We got 25 minutes on the other side of this break. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. So far, we've heard from a lot of people who are disturbed by what Dr. Schuller had to say. Perhaps we have some Schuller fans in the audience listening in St. Louis or around the country or here at Christ Lutheran in Oak Park, Illinois, who want to take some umbrage at our characterization of Dr. Schuller. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Was there a question that I didn't ask that I should have asked? It's open lines when we come back from this break. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. This break is a great time to call. You have 4 minutes to do it. We're coming to you live this Wednesday, June the 8th, broadcasting from Christ Lutheran Church in Oak Park, Illinois, day two of our Issues Etc. Reformation Tour. In 25 minutes, a roundtable of area pastors join us to talk about the person and work of Jesus Christ. Tomorrow on the program, another roundtable up in Elm Grove, Wisconsin, at Elm Grove Lutheran Church. We'll be talking about the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We'll be right back with your questions and your comments. Open Lines is next.
Christ-centered, cross-focused. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Listen to this prayer from Martin Luther. Dear Lord, You know that I cannot come before You on account of my own self, my presumption, my worthiness. I would not even know how I might begin to pray. Nevertheless, I do come before You because You have commanded it, and You earnestly encourage that we should call upon You. That is but one part of but one prayer in our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, a Lutheran Book of Prayer. The book is $8.99 plus shipping and handling. For this devotional resource, call 1-800-325-3040 and ask for a Lutheran Book of Prayer, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, 1-800-325-3040. For more information on the book, go to our website, issuesetc.org. Right there on the homepage, you'll find a Lutheran Book of Prayer, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Bob Dittmer. The House Subcommittee on Crime, Terrorism, and Homeland Security is considering legislation that replaces current laws with strict, mandatory sentencing for crimes against children. Two bills are in the works, one requiring sentencing of no less than 20 years to life or the death penalty, the other putting the crimes on the fast track in the court system. Bill Wilson reports.
These bills get tough on child predators and killers, and that's just what Wisconsin Congressman Mark Green, who introduced them, intends to do.
Mandatory minimum penalties are favored overwhelmingly by the American public because they, like many of us, are not willing to entrust federal judges to act in a consistent manner when sentencing sexual predators for sexual abuse and exploitation of our children.
It's been 21 years since Carol and Roger Fornoff's daughter Christy was murdered. Still, no justice.
By this fall, the case will have been in the federal courts for longer than Christy was ever alive. I cannot describe to you how painful our experience with the court system has been.
It's time to get really tough on those who exploit children, says Florida Attorney General Charlie Crist.
To make a meaningful difference, I believe we will have to employ a multifaceted strategy, embracing a wide range of approaches, including prevention, education, tracking, as well as enforcement.
Roger Fornoff is glad the bills instruct the courts.
We don't need a judicial system if you're going to go on for 20, 30 years.
The seemingly endless number of crimes against children has caught the attention of Congress, which in recent weeks has put on the fast track several pieces of legislation aimed at protecting children and sending a clear message to child predators. Leave children alone or else. For Family News and Focus, I'm Bill Wilson in Washington.
The Justice Department says 1 in 5 girls and 1 in 10 boys are sexually exploited, yet less than 35% of the crimes are reported. For Family News and Focus, I'm Bob Dittmer.
Have you tried and failed to live a purpose-driven life? Do your attempts to live a life that is pleasing to God fall so far short that you'd rather stay home from church? Then join Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, where the focus isn't on you, but on Christ, who was made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is located at 612 North State Street in Freeburg. Their phone number, 618-539-5664.
Don't let the title fool you. You don't have to be Lutheran to benefit from our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. It's titled The Lutheran Book of Prayer. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about the Lutheran Book of Prayer on our website, issuesetc.org. The Lutheran Book of Prayer costs $8.99 plus shipping and handling. 1-800-325-3040.
Against sin is in fact the preaching of the law, and that the gospel preaching is the preaching of Christ's perfect obedience to the law in my place at the cross. And there is good news. That is the good news that Paul preaches, Christ
That's
as
right.
my
no,
substitute.
Where do you start? You know, you have only one chance to make a first impression. You've had it. Don't start with a first impression, pointing the finger, coming from the position that you've got it, they don't. You're better than they are. You don't start that way.
Well,
you start with humility, and that's what I don't find in that strategy that you're promoting. I believe he lived the perfect life. I believe he died on the cross to save us of our sins. Because he paid the penalty of sin. And what is the penalty of sin? Did he save us from? I'll tell you the answer, and you probably won't get it. You go back and read some of my stuff. It's why I've been criticized. It's why I'm through my life. Some people call me a liberal, new age person, all of that stuff. They're totally wrong. They're thinking too shallow. They've got to get deep enough. What did Jesus save us from? If anything he had to save us from, he had to pay it full bore on the cross. And what did he save us from? He saved us from shame.
So it is.
And that's one of the other side. He saved us for glory. And that's what's killing the human family. We're ashamed of who we are. I may be an atheist. An atheist will not admit he believes in God. And he won't say, I'm not sinning. Everybody does it. There's nothing wrong with it. So, but deep down in the heart, the human being, a lost soul already living at the edge of hell because he doesn't have the glory. He's not proud of who he is. In fact, if he goes to a church, he better not feel proud. That's a terrible sin. Wait a minute. The opposite of pride.
As Robert Shuler, in answer to my question about whether or not we can acknowledge ourselves to be sinners and find the good news in the perfect obedience of Jesus alone, his answer, no, that's not enough good news. You've got to find some comfort in yourself. 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. We're getting your reaction to our interview with Dr. Robert Shuler of the Hour of Power and founder of the Crystal Cathedral. Feel free to disagree, by the way. 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Hearing his answer to that question again, I'm struck by the fact that he heard me talking about my own sin, but then when he answered, he said, well, what you're doing is accusing someone else of their sin. You're pointing the finger and saying, I have it and you don't. I'm holier than thou, which was exactly the opposite of what I was saying. You want to talk about a humble approach to people who are lost in their sin. It is to approach them as one sinner to another sinner, one beggar showing the other beggar where to find bread. He could not hear the word sin without suddenly thinking, well, you're going to go around pointing your finger at people saying, you're a sinner and I'm not. Which is exactly the opposite of how we ought to preach sin. Pastors in the pulpit ought to acknowledge their own sin even as they point out the sin of those to whom they preach. Does man know he's a sinner deep down in his heart? Of course he does. It's an undeniable truth that cannot be undone. It's been written in our hearts. What man does not know is what that sin means and how that sin estranges him from God. You know what the natural man believes? The natural man believes precisely what Dr. Shuler teaches. The unregenerate man believes, yeah, I'm a sinner, but God loves me anyway. For no particular reason. I'll say this in no uncertain terms, folks. God does not love you anyway. God does not love you anyway. God loves you for Christ's sake. It's the only reason he loves you. 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Let's talk to Bryce in Loveland, Colorado. Bryce, welcome.
Hi, Todd. I appreciate so much these interviews you're doing with the actual people now. This is just great. You're good and you're getting better. But I think you need to press these guys a little bit tougher. When you said, you asked him flat out, what did Jesus come to save us from? And he went off and what he come to save us for. And right at that point, maybe you could have just pressed him and said, well, what does Jesus' name mean? What did the angel say in Matthew 1:21, you know, that his name will be called Jesus because he came to save his people from their sins. I mean, that's what his name means, for goodness sake. So I don't know, you could have pushed that a little bit. So
good comment, Bryce. I agree. There's about 50 points in that short interview in which I could have pushed it a little bit more, but I think we probably would have ended up going around in circles. I wanted to give the audience as broad a picture of what Dr. Shuler really teaches and believes as I could. So, you know, I think he would have stayed with us for an entire hour, even though he only agreed to do 10 minutes. This was part of a junket that he was doing to sell his book, and we only agreed with the publicist for 10 minutes. He gave us 24. He would have stayed with us for an entire hour. I'm convinced if the publicist wouldn't have turned off his phone. But, of course, he had other interviews to do with other people, probably far more important than issues, etc. Now, he did answer the question, what did God save us from? It just wasn't the answer that Scripture gives. God came to save us from shame, said Dr. Shuler. Sin is not our problem. It's that we feel bad because of our sin. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Thank you very much for that call, Bryce. Back to our audience. What's your name? What's your comment?
My name is Rick, and thank you so much for coming to Chicago. I appreciate you being here.
Great being here.
I only heard part of the interview, but the most disturbing thing is he says that Jesus died and came to save us from shame. The first thing is, what verse is that? So his authority is his own understanding, and Proverbs 3 tells us not to lean on our own understanding. So Scripture itself condemns his very approach. So when he talks about positive and negative thinking, I would ask him who defines that. If it ain't the scriptures, then it's his opinion. So if I wanted to kill Dr. Shuler and that made me feel better and I had better self-esteem, better part of, you know, glory, would he encourage me to do that if that made me feel better? That would be what I would ask Dr.
That's a
Shuler.
Very insightful question. Thank you very much, Rick. Well, it's true. Now, that is demonstrating the absurdity of Dr. Shuler's position. But if one says, okay, the minute you depart from Scripture, when you say, thus saith the Lord, the minute you depart from Scripture, you are in a no man's land of opinion. Then it's all one's own opinions. This is true for every preacher, every Christian. The minute you say something is true, thus saith the Lord, and you have no Scripture behind what you say, to back up what you say, you are stating opinion. You really ought to say, thus saith me. So it's a very good test. That's a very good test for anyone, including Dr. Shuler. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Up next, Jim calls from his car. Jim, welcome.
Hey, Todd, how you doing?
Very well.
When I was at the seminary, I had a professor who was very good friends with Shuler, and this individual, this professor, was on the Lutheran Bible Translators board when they were out in California, and every time he'd have a board meeting, he'd stay at Shuler's house. And one morning at breakfast, he said to Shuler, he said, Robert, I'm really ashamed of you because you know law and gospel, you know Christ died for our sins, and yet you never say it on television. And Shuler told him, he said, that does not raise money.
Really? Well, I guess there are a lot of things about faithful preaching that don't raise money. Jim, thanks for the call. Well, of course it won't raise money. I think that's self-evident. Now, I'm not saying that a faithful preacher could never have a giant church and a worldwide television ministry and be a best-selling author, although if I were betting on that in Vegas, I would probably lose my shirt. God has not called us to be successful. He's called us to be faithful. Now, the two are not necessarily mutually exclusive. But if you're a betting man, faithfulness will not necessarily bring you the kind of success that apparently Dr. Shuler puts before the Word of God. Mark calls from his car. Hi, Mark.
Pastor Todd, it was an interesting discussion. It's interesting how the law multiplies sin when you sever it from grace. All you're left with is yourself. So you have to construct this system where you're okay. You have to reduce the standards to make yourself, you know, okay and acceptable to God. It's also interesting how easy it is to confess your sin when you know you're loved in Christ. There's no conception of in Christ. In myself, I'm a sinner. In Christ, you know, I'm saved. So I just thought it was an interesting discussion.
Thanks, Mark. I'm glad you were interested in it, and thanks for calling. Well, you know, it's interesting. He has what I call a gospel without sin. It's really common. It's really more common than you think it is. In fact, I've written a journal article for the Next Issues, etc., a journal called Bible Believing Liberals, and one of the hallmark features of Bible Believing Liberals. Now, these are people who are Bible believing. They will tell you that they believe in the authority of the Bible. Now, in practice, they don't use the Bible authoritatively, but they will tell you they are Bible believing. But they are Bible-believing liberals, and one of the hallmarks of Bible-believing liberals, whether it be Joel Osteen or Bill Hybels or Rick Warren, is a gospel without sin. That is, a good news with no bad news. The gospel doesn't answer any predicament in man's life. It's just good news. It is, God loves you anyway. Now, what would you do with your kids? This is a very practical way of thinking about this. What would you do with your kids if you had a son who felt like he could go around and with impunity misbehave, mistreat his siblings and his friends, and every time you confronted him with it, he said, come on, Mom, you love me anyway. I imagine that's how God looks down upon Robert Shuler when he says, oh, sure, I don't keep the commandments perfectly, but God, we have a God who loves us anyway. This is replacing repentance with denial. It's a gospel without sin. You see, your good news is only so good as your bad news is bad. This is a common malady in Lutheran pulpits as in so many other pulpits. Because we do not rightly diagnose, according to God's word, the severity of our problem as sinners, our dire consequences of our sin before God, when we come to preach the good news, Christ answering for our sin, it's not nearly as good. See, if I'm only a little sinner, I don't need a big Savior. I just need a little Savior. And if I'm only an amateur part-time sinner, I don't need a full-time Savior. I only need Jesus to jump in when I get in trouble. However, if I am a professional full-time sinner, I need a full-time Savior. I need Jesus all the time. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And from our audience here at Christ Lutheran in Oak Park, feel free to jump in at any time. I'm happy to talk with you as well. It's open lines. We're reacting to our interview with Dr. Robert Schuller yesterday. He has written this book called Don't Throw Away Tomorrow. Now, we've been reviewing his sermons on the program, not every one of them, but occasionally. And much after reading the book, much of what he has had to say lately on his program is part of this book. In fact, that's really what his books are. They are just occasional sermons that he preaches at the Crystal Cathedral, condensed, edited, and put together in book form. Don't throw away your tomorrow. It's really another way of him saying, keep thinking positively. I asked him early in that interview, did you hear? I said, what's the difference between what you teach with possibility thinking and what Norman Vincent Peale back in the 70s taught with positive thinking? You remember this book? It was all the rage, especially popular among Lutherans. I don't know why. I just cannot for the life of me. I remember my dad had one on the shelf, and I tell this story quite often. On my dad's bookshelf were three books that I can remember. There was Evangelism Explosion by D. James Kennedy. Next to it was Walther's Law and Gospel, the proper distinction between law and gospel. And I often say to people, I'm really surprised that the house didn't burn down because of the friction between these two books on my dad's shelf. But right next to Walther's Law and Gospel on the other side, Norman Vincent Peale's The Power of Positive Thinking. Now, I'm surprised we didn't go up in a mushroom cloud at that. I mean, what a sandwich. You got Walther sandwiched between Norman Vincent Peale and Evangelism Explosion. Now, what I did, though, very much like Walther himself, on a respite from college, is I went back one day, and this is what actually turned me into a Lutheran. Finally, after being a lifelong Lutheran, it turned me into a real Lutheran. Was I took Walther's out between those two and left a nice airspace between those. Actually, there was as much substance between those two books as there was in either of those books after I took Walther's Law and Gospel out. And I read Walther's Law and Gospel on a break from college for the first time. And I realized what it meant to be Lutheran. Now, one of our callers earlier, Matt from Seward, Nebraska, pointed this out. It is the way we read the Bible. It is not that we believe the Bible is true. We ought to believe it is true. It is not that we believe that the Bible is inspired, although we ought to believe it is inspired. It is not that we believe that it is authoritative and inerrant and infallible, although we ought to believe all those things as well about Scripture. What distinguishes a Lutheran from just another fundamentalist is how we read that Bible. There are two ways of denying Scripture. One is to say it isn't God's word. The other is to say it is, but treat it as though it isn't. And when one refuses to read God's word according to the two great doctrines by which God has delivered it to us, law and gospel, then one is saying it's God's word, but not reading it as though it is. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. A few other things that he had to say there that I thought were interesting. And this is, I think, why Schuller has such broad appeal even today. He says children are born in a condition of sin. And he talked about sin as a condition. Now, there's nothing wrong with that on the face of it. Sin is a condition. Sin isn't what you do, first and foremost. It is who you are as a child of Adam. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. The things we do in thought, word, and deed are symptoms of our condition. So hooray to Dr. Schuller for pointing out that sin is a condition. The problem is he does not diagnose the condition correctly. He says children are born without faith. Now, he'll later go on to say that faith is in themselves. That is not how Scripture defines sin. Another thing he had to say there, and this is, I think we really got to point this out before our time runs out. He repeated the often repeated myth about Jesus. Did you hear it? Jesus never went around telling people about their sin. In fact, in his book, he says, well, there was this Old Testament religion that was all about keeping the rules. He mischaracterizes the Old Testament. The Old Testament is really all about Christ, but go figure. He says there was this Old Testament religion that was all about keeping the rules, and then Jesus came along and changed the rules. Suddenly, non-judgmental love became the rule. I mean, how often have you heard, this is not just Robert Schuller, how often have you heard Lutherans say, Jesus didn't go around judging people? They're going to have a huge surprise on the last day when Jesus comes to judge the living and the dead. I mean, I'd like to say to those people, well, okay, even if Jesus didn't go, which he did, but even if Jesus didn't go around judging people during his earthly ministry, when he shows up again, he's going to do a heck of a judgment on everybody. But is it true that Jesus didn't go around condemning people for their sin, or Jesus didn't go around pronouncing judgment? Now, Schuller says he only judged those like the Pharisees. And that, but those who approached him as sinners, he didn't judge them. Jesus spent his entire ministry exercising judgment. Judgment has two sides. A judge can either pronounce you guilty or pronounce you innocent. This is what we ought to know about Judgment Day, by the way. This is why Judgment Day holds no fearful prospect for those who are in Christ. Because it will be a judgment, a full-blown, bona fide judgment, but judgment can go one of two ways. We can either be on the last day judged guilty, or we can be judged innocent. Judgment Day for those who are in Christ will be an innocent verdict. That's why we don't need to fear judgment, although we will pass through judgment and be judged innocent. Well, Jesus went around all the time to those who did not see their sin. He judged them as a judge could only do it. He pronounced them guilty. This is what he does with the rich young man. He pronounces him guilty according to the law, and he goes away sad. He doesn't want to hear the guilty verdict. To the woman caught in adultery, who has been confronted with her sin and sees it before her eyes and cannot deny it, Jesus pronounces her innocent. In both cases, Jesus is rightly judging. But he doesn't ignore the sin of either of these people, and he doesn't gloss over them. What's your name? What's your comment?
Good afternoon. Name is Pete from Cary, Illinois.
Hi, Pete.
How you doing? Not a real profound comment, but I'm an engineer and I look for patterns a lot. And I didn't hear all of the interview, but it seemed like a pretty familiar pattern where sin is minimized. And it seems like whenever sin is minimized, Christ is minimized. When we don't confess sin, we don't talk about Christ's forgiveness. And it seems like a real familiar pattern, and not surprised that I heard it again today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your comment there, Pete. Why is it that engineers, we have so many engineers in our audience? It's like every time we meet someone at one of these tours, especially the men, not so much the women, but especially the men. Hi, what do you do? I'm an engineer. We're like talk radio for the engineer. There must be something there I don't understand. I come from a family of engineers, by the way, but I lack the math skills and the basic intellect to do the job, so this is what I'm doing, Pete. Leave it up to you to solve things that I cannot. Okay, yes, it is a very familiar pattern, and this connection. See, this is the Christian life. If you go to Pop American Evangelicalism and ask any Pop American Evangelical, Rick Warren, Bill Hybels, whatever it is, what is the Christian life? They will talk to you about all the good things that you're supposed to do. They would describe for you a scenario in which you do good things today, tomorrow, and the next day, and next week you'll be better at it. It is a practice makes perfect theology. What does Luther say is the shape of the Christian life? What does Paul say is the shape of the Christian life? What does Jesus say is the shape of the Christian life? Daily repentance and the forgiveness of sins. The two always go hand in hand. The Christian lives perpetually in this dynamic of before God, he must plead guilty as a sinner, yet in Christ he is pronounced innocent. Can a Christian go one moment without acknowledging himself before God as a sinner? No. Dr. Schuller's right. It's our condition. I just wish he understood that condition a little better. We've got just a few minutes here before we go to our break and into our third hour. Another comment here from our audience.
Yes, my name's Rick. I'm back again. I have one last thing to say in relation to the judgment. Jesus not only judged righteously, he tells us in John 7:24, stop judging by mere appearances and make a righteous judgment. If Dr. Schuller's listening, he should listen to the voice of the Savior. That's what the Savior tells us to do.
Very good. Right back to the Bible with Rick. Thank you for the comment. Now, people will obviously say, what about judge not lest you be judged? Didn't Jesus say that? So we shouldn't judge anything. Which is interesting, if Jesus is living by his own rule, he's telling us not to do something, which is exercising judgment. Jesus cannot mean that we should never judge anything, otherwise we wouldn't be able to judge whether Dr. Robert Schuller is, well, Dr. Robert Schuller said I was wrong. There's a little bit of judgment going on there. No, it's exactly what you said, right judgment. All right, we'll be playing this again tomorrow on the program in day three of our Issues, Etc. Reformation Tour from Elm Grove Lutheran Church in Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Before we go to this break, there is a place where people, where men are being taught to rightly read the Scriptures in terms of law and gospel and to rightly proclaim those Scriptures to sinners and their Savior from sin. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. You hear regular guests like Dr. Carl Fickenscher, Dr. Larry Rast, and all the others from Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, rightly dividing God's word of truth. For more information about Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, where they are training men to preach law and gospel, sin and a Savior, 1-800-481-2155. That's their toll-free number. Or go to our website, issuesetc.org. Right there on the homepage, you will find a picture of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana's Kramer Chapel, the tall, pointy affair looking much like the chapel at the Air Force Base in Colorado Springs, except in wood. Click on that. You will find all about Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Now, when we come back from this break, a round table of pastors discussing God the Son. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.